This morning I want to continue on in this series of sermons that I've been doing about some of my favorite Bible verses, and since it is July 4th weekend, there's something that I want to present to you, a truth that seems ironic, but yet it is still true. That's why I called this particular sermon, The Irony of Freedom. The backdrop was in a church, but this wasn't a church service. On March 23rd, 1775, on the eve of the Revolutionary War, in Richmond, Virginia, at the Virginia Convention in St. John's Church, there was an impassioned speech that was given. And at the end of this speech, that's well known to the history of this country, there was a quote that was made that I find to be theologically perfect. But it wasn't intended to be a theological statement. You see, the colonists were about to go to war with King George. This is the very beginning of the Revolutionary War. It's the eve of the war. And the colonists had to make a choice whether they were going to fight for their freedom or continue under the rule of King George. What would they do? Many brave men and women led the fight. And on this particular day, on March 23rd, a concept was given about freedom. Is being free worth dying for? For some, they're okay to stay enslaved to whatever they're enslaved to, and we're going to talk about slavery to sin. For some, they are okay to stay in their slave as a slave. But for others, they realize that the cost to be free might mean that you have to give up your life. And we celebrate in this great country almost 250 years of freedom now, because people realized that the price to pay to be free, they were willing to pay it, even at the expense of their life. Are you glad? Are you thankful to live in the greatest country in the world? And for the people that have fought and bled and died for each one of us so that we could enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy? I am. But the end of this speech, Patrick Henry said these famous words: "As for me, give me liberty or give me death." He would rather die than to live one more day under the tyrannical rule of King George in England. Man has always searched and been on a quest for freedom. To be free. And I think 250 years removed from that, it's easy for us to take that for granted. How many of you would consider yourselves to be American history experts? Did you know that I was talking about Patrick Henry? How many of you would consider yourselves to be Wesleyan church experts? Historians. Any hands? Can I give you a history lesson? You go to a Wesleyan church. And what is that all about? What does that mean? What's it mean to be a Wesleyan? I want to give you a little bit of church history because I'm just so righteously proud. Because our denomination was founded by brave men and women that realized that the cost for freedom was worth paying. Let's back up. John Wesley in England, hundreds of years ago, started a movement. It was called the Methodist Movement. He didn't name it the Methodist Movement, but that's what it was called. The movement swept across England, and when Francis Asbury came to the New World, to America, it swept across the United States. And by the time the Revolutionary War started, There were more people that considered themselves Methodists than any other denomination or religion here in our country. The Methodist Church was born here out of the movement that John Wesley began in England. But the Methodist Church, by the end of the 1700s and the beginning of the 1800s, had a problem. You might not know this. I'm going to be transparent about it. Okay? The Methodist Church, even though they had a book, a governing set of rules called the Discipline, in its own bylaws condemned the holding of slaves. Slavery was rampant all over the world, in England and in the United States, the Deep South, in our country. This is pre-Civil War. Even though the Methodist Church had in its own bylaws condemning and not allowing Methodist church members to hold slaves, they turned a blind eye every time it was brought up, even though it was in black and white. The quest for freedom has always gone forth. There were a few brave men that were Christ followers that fought the fight for the slaves that were being held in the Deep South in our country. And every time they fought, they realized that they were fighting a losing battle. Even though they would go to yearly Methodist church conferences and argue on behalf of the slaves that were kept in the South, and pulling out their own discipline and bylaws, using their own words of truth, they were rejected time and time again. It seemed that the Methodist Church was hard on abolitionists and soft on slave owners. But a few brave men, in the mid and early 1800s, names these five men primarily, and these are some of my heroes. Maybe you know some of these names. Maybe you've never heard of them before. But I'm going to say these names. I'm going to ask you to do some research, because you need to understand the cause that they put forth and what they did is the primary force that ended slavery in our country and in our churches. These five men, led by Orange Scott. You've heard of him, perhaps. Leroy Sunderland. I'm going to say the name slowly because you're taking notes. I want you to just research this. Orange Scott, Leroy Sunderland. Sunderland. Jotham Horton. Jotham. These are great names. Horton. Yeah. Horton. Jotham Horton. Luther Lee. And my favorite name, Lucius Matlack. Some people will leave a church because they don't like what church leadership chose as the new color of carpet. And sometimes people leave a church because they're called by God to leave their church. Amen. These five brave men led a cause, and it swept across the North, to secede from the Union, so to speak. Churches, Methodist churches all over the North, started leaving that denomination to start something new because they believed God was stirring in their heart that slavery was wrong. I tell you all this because I'm I'm so righteously proud of our denomination. In May of 1843, in Utica, New York, there was a conference that was held by these five men and all of the people that were part of the churches that felt a calling to step outside of what was going on in the South. And a new denomination was formed. It was called the Wesleyan Methodist Church. 1843, May of 1843. You might not know this. I know my teenagers know this. In May of 1843, Mount Zion Wesleyan Church was formed. We're not just a year one church. We're a month one church in this denomination. This church was founded on the belief that the quest for freedom matters, that all men and women were created equal. Later, the Wesleyan Methodist Church became the Wesleyan Church when it was combined with the Pilgrim Holiness Church in 1967. And that's how we got to be the Wesleyan Church that we are today. When you were founded with this desire to not just be satisfied that you've been saved, but rather to help others find freedom. The quest for freedom, it just matters. I've called this the irony of freedom. And I've been saying these words everywhere I go, and my wife could even attest. Wherever we're at Walmart, it doesn't matter where we are. I will tell people, I would say, because it's July 4th weekend, freedom isn't free. It came at great cost to so many people that laid down their life for the cause of freedom. Freedom isn't free. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Romans chapter 6. And you might think, okay, that's the irony, right, Pastor? Freedom isn't free. I get it. Ha ha, that's great. That's not the irony. We're going to find something in this passage that I find to be ironic, because we are always and always will be on a quest for freedom. Now, the reason why I believe that what Patrick Henry said on May 23rd, 1775, was theologically sound, he was speaking about freedom from rule from England, but the words that he said are exactly true in God's Word. You see, there should be a point in each one of our lives where we realize we either need to live as free men and women, or we will die. When he said, give me liberty or give me death, that is the choice that each one of us are making. When we step from death into life, when we come out of the darkness and into the light, we are making the choice to have liberty instead of death. But there's irony here. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me. If you'd like to stand or raise your hands, close your eyes as we read his word, that is up to you. But this are not even just the words of the Apostle Paul, but they're the words of the Lord God Almighty. They're not Pastor Steve's words, so these are holy words. Father, thank you for your truth, your words of truth. Let it speak to us. Let it be sharper than a two-edged sword. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read starting with verse 15. The Apostle Paul feels the need to clarify something because he's been talking about the idea that there's a new covenant. It's a covenant of grace. And we're no longer under the covenant of law. So he wants to make a clarification. And then what he says is incredibly ironic. And I have to share this with you. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means! Exclamation point. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin, and you have become slaves to righteousness. Praise be to the glory of God for the reading of His Word. The quest for freedom. We want to live as free men and women. I think it's something that in the United States of America we take for granted, that we are free. We live in the greatest country in the world where we have more opportunities available to us than we have anywhere else. But this isn't a political statement, although that's true, and we should all live in that and be thankful for that. But there is another form of freedom that is even greater. I do not take for granted that I live here. I do not take for granted the people that serve us. I do not take for granted the people that would give up their life to save me if the need came. I hope you're living in such a way too, but here's the thing. True freedom isn't found in the freedom of tyrannical rule. True freedom is found when we step from darkness into the light. You are free to choose that on your own. One of the things that the slaves in the Deep South should have taught us, that they can have the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of their slavery. Because these were some of the most spiritual people that I've ever learned about. They praised the Lord Jesus in spite of the fact that they were shackled. Freedom is more than just freedom from tyranny or being physically free from our shackles. True freedom is found when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ Almighty. It doesn't matter what your condition is in life. It might surprise you to realize this, that there are more slaves now in the world than there have ever been throughout the history of mankind. Does that surprise you? It's true. It was abolished here in a formal sense, but there are still slaves in this country. There is sex trafficking. There are all forms of slavery that are going on around us. It would surprise us and frighten us if we actually knew what was happening, even here. But no matter what our situation is, whether it's hard, whether we're at a loved one's bedside, or whether we have just experienced great loss, or the uncertainty of what the future might hold, maybe a job or a relationship that is broken, and it doesn't matter what it is, that's not where our hope lies. True freedom comes from whether or not we know the Lord Jesus Christ or not. You see, you were once slaves to sin. Oh, by the way, I say this all the time, you hear me say this, that on my best day, what am I? Wow, you guys got this down really good. Hey, after all this time, that's how you see me. That's great, because that's how I see you. Because this is who we are, church, and we have to understand and realize this. Even on our best day, we're a pile of filthy rags, because when we were born under the curse of Adam, and we're just broken and messed up. It's who we are, and we have no ability to save ourselves whatsoever. We're doomed. Unless we lean in to the salvation offered by a Savior, the choice is ours. We are born with this propensity to sin, and there's no way out of it. This is who we are. This is the reality, and we need to understand that, because we're tempted to say, well, I'm okay. I can get along in life. I can muster up what I need. I can read enough self-help books. I'm an okay guy. I mean, I don't take more from society than I give. There's a lot of people that are living life that way, and they don't realize they're a slave to their sinful nature. And they're trying to find freedom and all the things that the world would offer. But the reality is, unless we have a Savior, we're all slaves to our sinful nature, just as who we are. Can we just be honest about that? We're all in that same boat. I'm okay to be in that boat because it makes me love my Savior all the more. Because what He did for me, He loved me ere I knew Him. Me? The likes of me? He came here to die for? We should all live with that just sense of amazing awe and gratitude. Here's what's ironic. You might think, I'm getting there, you might think that when I said yes to Jesus, I have received my freedom. And in a real sense you have, because it's no longer life is about you, but rather it's about Him. If you make Him Lord, He is Lord, but if you make Him your Lord, guess what? You're free. You have been freed. And the Holy Spirit will help you move away from yourself. And your sinful nature can go away. Freedom, right? Freedom. Yes! I'm free from my sinful nature. Here's the irony. Paul says, uh-uh. Oh, you're a humanity. You're on this big quest for freedom, right? You want to be free from your shackles? You want to be free from sin? You want to be free from tyranny? Ha! Nope. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Uh-uh. You're trading one form of slavery for another. I said there are more slaves, and I'm talking about actually physically shackled, captive. I present this to you. There are 8 billion slaves in this world. Each one of us. You given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, Karen Fisher? I think you have. She's still a slave. She's released from the slavery of her sinful nature, but she's traded that in. The Apostle Paul says, you're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness. This is the challenge in front of the church. It's not enough to just be released from the freedom into the freedom of your sinful nature. That's the beginning. But you swap that outfit and you're no longer a slave to that, but rather you're now a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gets me excited. I'm going to say this, and I don't want to diminish true slavery that has happened in our country and anybody's heritage or what's happening around our world even now. Because slavery is awful in that sense. But I am thankful that I am a slave to righteousness. I am thankful that I get to serve the Lord with all of my heart. The choice is mine every day of my life, Levi, whether or not I'm going to be obedient to His will for my life. The Apostle Paul even said it. Don't you know? If you're a slave, you're a slave to the one you're obedient to. Give yourself fully to your master. The Lord Jesus Christ can make more out of your life than anything or anyone else. When you live in slavery to your sinful nature, you live with no hope. You live in darkness. And you will always be on the quest for freedom. Something is missing. Something is broken. What is wrong with my life? And there are billions of people out there that are on a quest to be free. And they just don't know that true freedom is found so simply in the Lord that loves them with all of His heart and died for them. But church, here's what I want you to hear today. If you've been freed from that form of slavery, are you ready to step into the next form of slavery? Being slaves to righteousness, because this is where life abundant is found. It's not found in anything else. When He says, what then? Shall we go on sinning because we're no longer under the law and we're under grace? You are slaves to righteousness. You live for the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to worry about rules because that just happens naturally when you live for the Lord. Who's ready to be a slave to righteousness? Jim and his team are going to come and they're going to close us. And I just want this to be kind of an anthem, a moment where we say, I'm ready to trade one form of slavery to another. If you've been set free from your sinful nature, there is more waiting for you to experience. You can be a slave to righteousness and be obedient to the Lord. That is where you find true freedom. Brother Jim? Well, the choice is yours. You get to choose to live in freedom or not. You have the liberty to live for Jesus fully, not partially. Jesus is worthy of all that we have. Amen. You can choose that or not. To choose not to is frightening. But I love that we have been given this beautifully terrifying gift called free will. The Lord doesn't make us love Him. He doesn't make us choose Him. He bestows that gift upon us that we get to make the choice. Okay, church, now I want to speak for myself. And maybe this is your heart today too. I hope it is. As for me, give me liberty or give me death. Church, you are sent.